Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out.
It's time to salute your sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM.
Having fun over there?
Oh, you know it. I'm always having fun.
We get it. You're the tech wizard. We get it.
That's a throwback to Matthew Terry when you used to mess around with the boards like this much.
And just annoy him absolutely, just front to back, back
throwback.
To front.
Is that a lead in to this?
Oh man, if you want a throwback, we found Zach G's flash drive.
I'm gonna smile. I'm gonna nod. I'm gonna act like who that is. So
Zach G, a KCOU sports legend, along with Carter Woodiel.
That's right.
They had the second longest running sports talk show on the KCOU airwaves.
That's right.
What's the first?
Well, Salute Your Sports.
Yeah,
I believe the second one was Big Three, and Big Three ended my sophomore year.
Ooh, who was on that one?
Nate Gatter. Man, a lot of name drops here.
Just keep it coming.
I feel like I should be getting all teary eyed over
there's
these people.
There's a guy who was on
this
show who was on the other show. I can't remember his name. Not Nick Kelly.
Hmm.
Something like that. He's also a KOMU supporter.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Anyways, this is Salute Your Sports. I'm Chris Mitchell, James Stanley, as always, on the board. Zach Berman, over there.
Happy homecoming.
Happy homecoming,
welcome
y'all.
Back. Welcome home to everyone coming out this weekend. Must be nice to be back on your old stomping ground. And speaking of stomping, that was promptly what Mizzou did to Troy last Saturday. Bad puns.
I'm going to just let that sit in the air for a little bit. Make you think about what you've done. Anyways, yeah, Troy went about as well as I figured it would, at least points-wise. But there were some issues I had with the
Kel
final.
Kel Garrett's one.
Well, yeah, I was going to get to that. So Kel Garrett, Kelly Bryant had himself an injury scare. We'll talk about that. But I feel like the most pressing news at the time of this recording is that Kel Garrett had surgery for a torn pectoral tendon. He'll be out indefinitely, probably for the rest of the season.
It's Nick Bolton time now.
Yeah, it's Nick Bolton time. Nick Bolton, not a bad linebacker in his own right, but it is unfortunate when you lose someone like Kel Garrett because, for all intents and purposes, he was pretty much the anchor, the heart and soul of this Mizzou defense.
Did you see how it happened?
Yeah, I did see how it
Cheap
happened.
Cheap shot.
Yeah, ugh.
Well, I've watched it two or three times, and the first time I thought it was a cheap shot, I don't know.
Yeah.
At this point, it's not as bad as the cheap shot on Kelly Bryant. You want to talk about a cheap shot?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But even still after that, Garrett was played on the rest of that drive, yeah?
That is correct. He played the rest of the drive. And
yeah, boy, howdy. You want to talk about just pure adrenaline when you're playing football. It can make you do some crazy stuff. I remember back when Joe Flacco tore his ACL against the Jaguars, he was able to orchestrate a sort of pseudo game-winning drive that ended in a Justin Tucker field goal. But after he threw that final completion, just to, like, get him in the field goal range, he sort of just buckled. And that was like, oh, yep, non-contact ACL. There you have it. But, yeah. Anyways, as of right now, people are wondering, well, the question has been asked, is Kel Garrett going to get medically redshirted? Are we going to potentially get another season worth of Kel Garrett after this one kind of fell short? And the answer to that, Barry Odom sort of gave in his media presser the other day, is that he's not really thinking about it right now. He's not really committed to it either way. It's one of those things where he's going to leave it up to Kel Garrett and his family, whether or not he wants to come back for another year and really assert himself as one of the SEC's best linebackers.
And one of the greatest defenders in Missouri Tigers history.
Yeah, or if he just wants to forego all that and head straight to the draft. Which, you can make the argument either way for how you want to go about this.
I have a feeling he's going to need the experience to back himself up.
I agree.
Yeah, I'd say that. But I mean, just looking at the tape so far this year, he's had so many last year, like down the stretch, where Garrett sort of like came into his own as like a bona fide threat on the Mizzou defense, and then into like this year where he was going on absolute tear.
Bonafide.
Most consistent scorer on the team.
More than Tucker McCann?
Yes.
More than Rondell Perkins?
Possibly.
Anyways. Yeah, it is a bummer. Kel Garrett, such a great player. Gonna miss him. Hopefully he comes back in time for, I don't know, the last stretch of games. Probably won't be back in time for Georgia. But who knows? Maybe that sort of like last stretch, just like, I don't know, seal. I'm guessing like a 8-ish win season for Mizzou. That'd be fine. I'd be down for that. Plus a bowl game, maybe. Anyways, and beyond that, I feel like the hit that everyone was talking about coming out of the game, which is the hit that everyone had, was like super duper panicked about, was a cheap shot on Kelly Bryant's leg as he was orchestrating a touchdown pass. Sort of at the end of the play, the ball was, you know, completely out of his hands, on route to the receiver. Nothing really needed to be going on back, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, but it happened anyway.
It was egregious.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, this is why there needs to be a rule in the NCAA, even NFL or MLB, NBA too, although it's not as commonplace. If you injure somebody, intentional or not, if you injure somebody to the point, you know, where they're going to have to sit out, because let's say that he had torn his ACL in that play and is gone for the rest of the year, then you have to sit out the exact same amount of time that that person has to sit out. And my logical thinking here, especially in football, it'll teach these guys to not hit so hard.
Man, that's...
And not just hit so hard, but also learn how to tackle properly.
Yeah.
It'll stop all this, you know, helmet-to-helmet contact.
See, that's the thing. Especially, it gets tricky, especially when we get into, like, accident territory.
That was not an accident.
That was not an accident.
I know.
Here's something I really feel passionate about. I cannot see a reason why any SEC athletic director would schedule Troy ever again after this.
They
either beat you or they beat you up.
Yeah, the question has been posed, but, you know. I think
guess who Troy has next year? Tennessee.
Ooh.
Oh, that's okay.
Just another Sun Belt team to whoop on Tennessee, I suppose.
Tennessee could go to the Sun Belt and probably compete.
True. Probably better than, probably better than Arkansas State. Better than Georgia State? Not really. Don't know about that one.
Did you see where I don't know if it was DirecTV or who it was, but somebody was driving around downtown Knoxville.
Yeah.
With the game playing on a big screen on the back of the truck. Oh, my
God. Yeah. That was so funny.
The Georgia State game?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
someone put on Twitter, like, man, they just rubbing this in my face.
I mean, if I was a Georgia State fan and I had the means to do that, why not?
Speaking about SEC coaches getting something rubbed in their face.
Yeah. Let's take it over to Ed Orgeron. Talk about Utah State. On the other side
of the ball, we always talk about. Oh my goodness. Who comes up with this stuff on Twitter?
And if
you want some context as to what this is Ed Orgeron. Somebody slowed his voice down.
No, what happened was.
I mean, is he speaking English here?
No, this is Twitter user at Bubba Prague who, while he was sort of getting the mix down for, like, I don't know, replays of this game, something in the file sort of got messy, and so that's what the playback sounds like now. It just dramatically pitch toned down.
He sounds like inebriated Cookie Monster.
Well, this is just a reporter.
That's not a reporter.
No, it's an Orgeron.
That sounds like hell, dude.
Oh my, he sounds like a
no, he sounds like Cookie Monster after one too many oatmeal raisins. That's what I think it is.
He sounds like Jeremiah was a bullfrog after he had all of his wine.
That sounds like the name Death Valley.
No, he sounds like Cookie Monster if he got into the cookie jar one too many times.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Shout out to Ed Orgeron.
How is this app free? How?
I'm glad it is, because if I had to pay for it, I'd be very upset. Because, hey, man.
Oh, that is so
quality. Not all content's premium content. Anyways, beyond that, it's homecoming, so there's a homecoming game to play, and that homecoming game is against Ole Miss. That's right. Rebels coming to town, baby.
We've
got some music to come with that.
I don't know how the chant goes. It goes something along the lines of...
No, this is not the chant song.
Are you ready? Something, something, hottie tot. I'm pulling it up.
No, this is I Saw the Light. This is their fourth quarter tradition, which in my opinion is one of the best in the SEC.
Yeah, it's a fun song.
Not the best, but...
Fun fact, there's an episode of Columbo where Johnny Cash was like the main killer guy. And during like the opening sequence, his deal was like he was like a Christian singer.
Was he singing this?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So shout out to Columbo. That should be my new bit now, trying to fit in Columbo references to every episode.
What is the best tradition in the SEC in terms of like singing?
I'd say
the Tiger Missouri Waltz.
No. I'd say Alabama's Dixieland Delight.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Did you all go down to Tuscaloosa last year?
Yes. And
to see that in person was just...
And on top of that, that was the first time in 4 years that they had done that.
Yeah, because...
That was absolutely incredible. I got goosebumps when it happened.
Because the student section kept wilding out.
Well, and there's
and cussing.
Well, you want to know the whole story behind it is that they brought in all of the fraternity leaders.
They brought in like alumni and like fraternity leaders and stuff to record them saying "Beat Auburn," and then they played it like really loud over the speakers.
You saw "Beat Auburn" play on the Jumbotron. Unfortunately, I was sitting pretty close to the Bama student section. I couldn't hear "Beat Auburn." I heard the other word.
See, I think it emboldens them to shout.
Yeah.
Hey, but you get the best of both words. Student section can yell it as loud as they want, and Bryant Denny can drown it out as loud as they want.
Yeah. Really? Is anyone harmed here? I suppose not, unless they still
LSU
catch it.
LSU had that tradition where the band plays "Neck," and then the students chant something really bad.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the Missouri Waltz, though, is just such like a Big 12 tradition.
Yeah.
Oh, we got the waving, or they got the waves of grain going back and forth. That's what it's supposed to be.
Have you ever heard about how Odell Beckham went down, because the band banned it, and Odell was like, "Look, if you guys ban playing "Neck," I will pay the fine.
To do it.
So the students can do it.
Yeah.
So every time the band plays that song, Odell Beckham sends LSU a check for $16,000.
Oh, if they beat Alabama, $16,000
fine. $16,000 from the SEC every time the band plays that.
If they beat Alabama, they got to bring it back.
Oh, of course.
And just keep playing it all night.
What are some other great traditions? Rocky Top for the...
Rocky Top's fun.
It's not great when they play it every other play.
George's Call the Dogs.
One of the newer traditions,
Arkansas,
that happened
the Hogs.
After Tom Petty passed away was "I Won't Back Down" at Florida, which is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, if you want me to be completely biased as an Oregon fan growing up, there is no better tradition in college football than shout. I am sorry.
Shout's fun.
Every school tries to rip it off. And Oregon's the only one that can lay claim to it because they filmed Animal House there.
Man.
And Animal House was originally supposed to be filmed here.
Who claims Sandstorm?
South Carolina.
How about Wabash Cannonball?
What?
For Kansas State.
Oh,
I
know what that is.
Yeah, but... Oh, do you know how they tell the...
Yeah, it's crazy.
Three, back and forth.
Yeah.
Man. I like it.
Yeah, it's cool.
I like
cool stuff out there. Enter Sandman's pretty good for Virginia Tech.
Mizzou needs a song or something that they can lay claim to.
Yeah,
because you can turn anything in college football into a tradition.
Yeah. This is the intro for my show now is a song called "The Crunch" by the Rob Band. Have you heard of this, James?
No.
It's got heavy college game vibes or like sports stadium vibes.
But I think I found Mizzou's song, actually.
I had an idea for the song. I just wonder if the school would go along with it knowing what would come out of it.
I saw you teeing that up, James. I didn't want to say anything, but I was
think the song should be Mr. Brightside.
Why?
That's a little bit too low octane.
How is it? Come on. That's something that
Mr. Brightside makes me think of my 15-year-old self.
Yeah, come on. It's football. You're not supposed to be talking about angsty teenage years.
Yeah,
you're supposed to.
Although
it is
Mizzou football, it does give you anxiety. Here, pop a Prozac for you under Faroe Field.
I'm watching this Wabash Cannonball thing right now.
It's
God.
Oh man, we can tee that up next.
How is that not a bigger tradition?
And it's an awesome song too.
Well, because it's K-State. Shout out to K-State and my cousins that go there.
K-State also does Sandman. or not Sandman. They do Sandstorm.
Sandstorm.
Yeah,
they do like the KSU Wildcats.
That's pretty good.
All right, if you want me to go top three traditions in college football, off the top of my head, I will go Oregon is number one because of the story behind it. Number two is jump around at Wisconsin.
Oh, that's really strong too.
And number three is the Penn State whiteout.
That's pretty good.
That is a Penn State whiteout is something I have always dreamt of seeing in person.
Yeah, but they do it after Labor Day. It's so tacky.
They don't do it after Labor Day.
Do they?
No, they have a stripe out, which is like the off-brand whiteout they save for the second biggest game. And the whiteout's always saved for either Ohio State or Michigan. And this year, Michigan gets it.
Okay.
Ragtime Cowboy Joe is pretty going, too.
Ooh, yeah. Anyways, while we're talking about that.
Oh, by the way, KU will have to update their, from the Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU. It goes Rock Chalk Jayhawk FBI.
Rock Chalk Snoop Dogg.
Sorry, FBI.
Can we not talk about the Snoop Dogg incident?
We can talk about it as long as we don't, like...
Well, it's just the fact, if you're not familiar with it, KU hired him to do their Midnight at the Fog. And he did what Snoop Dogg does.
Which is...
Brought out...
Bad words and illicit substances.
But not only that...
And...
He brought out a money cannon...
Yes.
...that had fake $100 bills with Snoop Dogg's face on it...
Yep.
...and showered the new recruits for KU in money in the midst of the scandal.
With, like, see, families there with, like, young children.
That, like, for me, I'm torn on this because one part it's like, yeah, that's, like, typical, like, I don't know.
That's
like,
so KU.
Yeah, but then it loops back around to being awesome.
It's awesome because they're like, you know what? We're aware that the NCAA hates us.
Well, and I don't
Let's
think
just take advantage of it.
I don't think Snoop Dogg planned that because he said that that's, like, it's, like, part of his routine.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that it happened in the midst of all this other stuff that's going down is just... Absolutely hilarious.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Oh, man. Anyways, let's talk about Ole Miss for a little bit.
Oh,
just
man,
for a little bit.
Head coach, Matt Luke, one of the only coaches that I think could go toe-to-toe with Barry Odom in a fight.
That's true.
Sure not Ed Orgeron?
I said one of the only, not the only.
That's true. We should get a power rankings for SEC coaches who would last longer in, like, Royal Rumble.
No, Ed Orgeron would win the whole thing. He'd eat everybody. He'd be like Shrek.
No, the final three would be Odom, Luke, Orgeron. That's...
Man. What about Vandy's coach? He'd get pretty far.
Who would be the first to go? Saban.
No.
Nah. Here,
actually, you know what? Nick Saban would just motivate everybody to not go after him.
Yeah.
First to go...
And they get really mad if his people underperform.
What about
Well, we planned on getting him out in 30 seconds. Took us 35 seconds. So we're going to have to run some drills to work on that. See y'all in Boston for Hell in a Cell.
How bad was Hell in a Cell? That was the first ever WWE pay-per-view I've watched. And the last
that was your first one.
That was my first one.
Oh, jeez.
I was
man.
So mad.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That was ugly. Man, if only 3Count was here so we could talk about Hell in a Cell more. Shout out 3Count. Shout out Matthew Terry. Rest in peace. Gone but not forgotten. Maybe you wish you were forgotten, though.
So Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Anyways. On offense, I thought they were going to take, like, a little bit of a dip because they lost a lot of what sort of made that offense go. Last season, Jordan Tamu. You know, shoot. What's his name? Who's the wide receiver they had? A.J. Brown? Yeah, I think it was A.J. Brown.
Or is it D.K. Metcalf?
And D.K. Metcalf. Shoot. Both of them sort of like made that passing offense.
Is A.J. Brown in the NFL right now?
Yeah, he's played for the Titans.
Has he had anything... Has he had any important moments?
Against the Falcons. Which, I mean, I feel like anyone could have good highlights against the Falcons.
I could have good highlights.
Well, have you seen Ole Miss's schedule?
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's been...
Oh, man, they got three tough, and Missouri's not going to be a cupcake walk either.
Yeah.
Missouri's going to probably beat them.
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning on right now.
But then next week they're at number 24 Texas A&M, and then they're at...
No, A&M's...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, they're hosting number 24 Texas A&M, and they're at Auburn, number 12. They got New Mexico State, and then Mississippi, or pardon me, good grief, then LSU at Mississippi on the 18th, and... than the Egg Bowl, which is never an easy game to win.
No.
Guys.
But yeah, miss it, but although.
Guys.
What?
Ole Miss is breaking out my favorite jerseys in the SEC.
Ooh.
Powder Blues are coming out this weekend.
Oh, those are fire. I like those a lot.
Land Sharks.
Yeah. Playing big to the Cardinals crowd for pulling out that powder blue and red.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Get me started.
I don't think we got to talk Cardinals. I think somewhere along these lines, we have to talk about the Dodgers. But
let's go. Or Max Scherzer.
Or Clayton Kershaw.
True. Well,
Howie Kendrick.
We're going to have to talk about both of those games, I feel like. Anyways, before that, Ole Miss, pretty good rushing defense. They're allowing just under 100 yards per rushing attempt. I believe it's they capped it off in 99.3, but they are also allowing 295.7 passing yards per game. So that's not great.
Well, also considering Kelly Bryant's run game is probably going to be diminished a little bit.
That is true.
That offensive line
different
better provide him good
side,
good protection
of Kelly Bryant.
That's right. I think he will be playing with a brace this Saturday. So I should hobble him a little bit, but on the other sort of side of it, that should give Tyler Beatty, Larry Roundtree, maybe Dawson Downing a little bit more time with the rock just to get things going. But I imagine most of the yards Mizzou will get in this game probably via the air, because that pass defense, not super great.
I mean, yeah, you lost to California.
I mean,
at home.
Well, here's the thing. Cal's defense, pretty good. For me, for my money, they're probably like a top 15 unit, top 20 unit in the entire NCAA. But the way they lost the game was kind of weird. They kind of got screwed, if that makes any sense.
Pac-12 refs, gotta love them.
Pac-12 refs, gotta love them.
Well, wait, they put Pac-12 refs on the road in Oxford? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that's how they did it.
The road conference team gets the refs.
Yeah, and they ran and almost sort of like ran out of time to sort of like put the final nail in the coffin, or at least like send it into overtime or get the chance to. But Pac-12 refs, hashtag Pac-12 refs, kind of did not give them like the spot or the time. And so, yeah, that's how they lost. And beyond that, they play Bama, which, you know, went about as good as playing Bama would probably go for a team like Ole Miss.
And that's what I was wondering about this team about, you know, you look at their record into that. They lost to California, lost to Memphis, were 2-2 into that game. And just really made me wonder, you know, because, I mean, putting up 31 points on Alabama is about what Mizzou did last year.
Yeah, something like that.
And Mizzou had a pretty good team.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, well, the thing is, Alabama's defense is great. Always like a top unit, but you can get to them.
Well, and it was with their backup quarterback too, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. But also, it's one of those things where those stats can kind of get inflated, because by the time you score 31 points on Alabama, they're already up by, like, I don't know, 20 or 25.
Ole Miss has not gotten a good break with, like, lining up with, like, Missouri on its down years.
No kidding.
This will only be the second time they've played since entering the SEC.
True. When was the other time they played?
2013.
Right.
And
wait, weren't you at that game?
I was at that game.
Ooh, why don't you talk about it for a little bit?
Oh man, it was cold, but the Grove was an absolute awesome experience. Let's see, I was a junior in high school.
Oh man.
Okay.
I was a sophomore. I was a sophomore in high school. Anyways, my dad, being a dad and having dad jokes, had a Ole Miss lined up for a field goal, and they missed two field goals that game, I believe. And after the first one, so how it worked is that they had the MU section, not just students, you know, all the alumni, everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, one section, and then to our left, we're in a corner, I believe. I can't remember exactly how the corner works. Regardless, we're right next to Ole Miss's student section, separated by this, like, large gap. So basically, the whole night, fans have been yelling, you know, at each other, because you can't really get to the other, you know, section. And,
no, unless you throw something.
Thankfully, that didn't happen.
Yeah, you got to have a really good arm.
Anyways, one of the things my dad yelled was after they missed a field goal, said, "That wasn't an Ole Miss, that was a new miss."
Boo. Ba-ba-ba-dum. play the soundbite.
I thought it was pretty clever for a dad joke on the spot.
Yeah.
That was, but how many times has that probably been said, though? Oh, that's a new miss.
Yeah, that's a new miss. And, you know, probably feeling like so fly after that. I was like, yeah, I got him. Just like that.
You know,
that's how you do it to him.
Ole Miss's stadium reminds me a lot of Faurot Field.
In a good way or a bad way?
Just in the size of it. It's not completely, you know, completely bowled in. kind of has an open end zone. It's one of the smaller SEC schools, also one of the older, not SEC schools, SEC stadiums.
Yeah.
One of the oldest stadiums, too.
True. That has a lot to do with it.
It's funny, Faurot Field would be like a top five venue in some conferences.
Oh, not in the SEC.
But not in the SEC.
In the Big 12, it definitely would have been. Although Nebraska's a great facility.
Oh, yeah. I've been in Nebraska.
And so does Oklahoma. Texas has a great facility. So does Texas
Mizzou A&M. Would be top five atmosphere-wise in the ACC, and it would be pretty easy.
Can you imagine Mizzou in the ACC? That makes about as much sense as Missouri being in the SEC East.
Yeah, so then why not? Put them in the ACC.
That'd be really funny.
I'd be happy with going 11-1 and losing one game to Clemson every year.
That's right, folks. For the seventh consecutive year, Mizzou wins the Pac-12 title.
Pac-12? What is happening here?
I
thought we were talking about the ACC.
I'm just throwing out like different conferences.
Why don't we put Mizzou in the MIAA and see how they beat up on everybody?
Oh, my God.
Let's put Mizzou in the Big Ten like they were supposed to be.
Oh, man.
Hey, Kevin Kiesman started that. Don't even get me started.
You're not big on Mizzou joining the Big Ten?
I don't think it ever was going to happen.
Ooh.
I think that was something that got blown up. Talking about fake news. and it ended up in Missouri's favor.
Okay.
Joining the SEC is probably the best decision this athletic department's ever made.
Yeah, at least money-wise.
Really?
You know what their TV revenue, like, it nearly quadrupled from 2011 to 2012.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, it was huge, and part of the reason was because of Texas.
And the Longhorn, shout out to the Longhorn Network.
Texas was running everything in that conference, and Missouri wanted nothing more to do with it. And one of the stipulations that Missouri wanted was the Big 12 to bring back the, you know, North and South divisions, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want this, you know, round robin stuff every year. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, it's one true champion.
Oh, yeah. This is back when they were doing that weird stuff with divisional champions. Yeah, that was weird. Big 12, you weird. You weird, Big 12. Anyways.
But it really help Mizzou?
Money-wise, it does. The stadium will not have these upgrades that they're not doing.
Okay,
the
that's
SEC.
Fair. All right, Ole Miss.
Yeah. Anyways, Ole Miss, better at running the ball than passing the ball this year. This year, Ole Miss is averaging about 234 yards per game on the ground.
Oh, we got to get a Miss Tui reference in there.
That's right. They are running the dang ball, which...
And they are from Ole Miss.
That's true. Mizzou, pretty good defending against the run, allowing, I believe, around 88.8 yards per game on the ground. So that'd be a fun matchup to watch, sort of how the respective line of scrimmages handle each other, especially since, of course, Kilgarrett's out. See how sort of wraps around and rallies around that. Anyways, that was a really long segment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, probably could talk about some more homecoming stuff, maybe an Orna, things of that nature. Anyways, you're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCLU 88.1 FM and KCLU.FM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Oxford Town, everybody's got the heads bowed down. Sun don't shine above the ground, ain't going down to Oxford Town.
Good evening. The game you're about to see is the most stupid, appalling, disgusting, and disgraceful exhibition of football possibly in the history of the game.
Hi, I'm Kyle Jones.
And I'm Cole Toussaint.
Tune in to our show, KNC Sports, every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9.
We discuss all the latest and greatest scores and stories from around the world of sports.
Remember to tune in every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9, only on KCOU 88.1 FM Columbia, or online at kcou.fm. You don't want to miss it.
Oh, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Make sure to start your week off right by listening to General Admission on KCOU 88.1 FM from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Monday morning.
I think he's wrong, though. You're agreeing and disagreeing
on the same topic.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing that it wasn't a smart move. I'm just not disagreeing with Anthony Davis's dad either.
Once again, that's General Admission from 8 to 9 a.m. on KCOU 88.1 FM for the latest updates from the MLB, NFL, NBA, and the NCAA.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone
or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
I wondered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night.
Good call on the Johnny Cash.
Are you kidding me, Berman? Get out of here.
Wait, is this not Johnny Cash?
This is not Johnny Cash.
Oh, no.
It's not Johnny Cash.
Get out of here. Oh, my God.
Who is this?
You're not going to know who it is.
I know I'm not going to know.
You know what? I think I have our new Ornaw.
What is it?
I'm going to play a song, and then you guys have to guess who it is.
No, you're not doing
yes.
that. We're not doing Name That Tune.
It's not Name That Tune. It's Name That Artist. Are you down, Chris Berman? Or, man.
You know,
wow, you guys have like a celebrity couple named Chris Berman.
You know, Connor McCann called me Chris Berman on air.
did you call him Tucker McCann back?
No, I didn't. I was like, you know, it's Zach, right?
back.
And that was during a live broadcast in the middle of a play. I mean, it was also SEMO, so it got to the point where it's like, look, I don't care anymore.
Boomer, is that you?
My dog's name.
So on the next punt return, did you go back?
Back.
No, I did have a couple good calls in that game, but
that was Hank Williams, by the way.
Yeah, I should have known that too.
No, you're not gonna. All right, do you know what other song he's famous for?
If you named it, I would know.
It's the song sung by, is it David Ramsey? Is that the country kid?
Dave Ramsey's like the yeah, money the, guy.
No, guys, I'm from New York. No, I don't know this stuff.
You know, like the yodeling kid?
Yeah.
His name Dave Ramsey, isn't it?
No.
Oh, Mason Ramsey. That's
nobody names their son Dave in the 21st century.
Okay, Karen.
That's my mom's name.
Rest in peace to all my Daves out there.
No, Mason, you know, Mason Ramsey, you know, yeah. Like the, yeah, so that was... Lovesick Blues. That was also by.
Yeah,
I should have known that.
Only country I listen to is Slim Whitman. I'm sorry.
You want to know what one song was ruined for me this summer?
What? You're gonna say Old Town Road, aren't you?
No. Actually, if anything, I have a great higher respect for that song. Fishing in the Dark.
Why was that ruined?
It was played every Kingfish game for the fireworks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the music guy up in the box would be like, all right, can we try something else? And you get radioed up, Fishing in the Dark. All right, can we try something else? Fishing in the Dark. And then during rain delays was Shout and then the Cha-Cha Slide every time.
Oh, man. Mizzou should start doing the Cha-Cha Slide every fourth quarter.
No, he shouldn't.
Yeah.
No, we shouldn't.
Something that obnoxious and that loud and that time-consuming.
You want to know what's obnoxious and so loud great. And time-consuming? Playing the ham horn after every touchdown. Why did we do that?
Oh,
ham
man.
Horn, what's this?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that thing's called?
Yeah, it's called a ham horn.
Ham horn's great. I respect
Wait, why do I have it called DJ's GJ Airhorn sound effect?
Because that's probably the name of it.
They play that after every big play, and I don't like it.
Really?
Yes.
That is kind of lame.
It needs more like fanfare. It needs more like reverb and bass. It needs like explosions. I think it's that
Michael
nature.
Bay.
Yeah.
Like his big touchdown play. Tigers. Not enough for you? Doesn't sound like it is.
They should take something from.
So you want to talk about old like traditions with the crowd?
Yeah.
One time, the PA announcer's mic either went out or else he just did not say TJ Moe's last name.
Oh no!
So he just said, "Reception caught by TJ," and there's like a long, like awkward pause, and then finally the crowd said Moe, and then that became a thing after that.
That's
cool.
See, the best traditions are the ones that happen naturally.
Because to me, when you say Mo, you know what I think of.
Yeah, the phony.
Quiet, numbskulls! I'm broadcasting.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I think of.
Yeah, well, I think that's everyone's inclination. That's cool. Kind of like how what's his face, tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was his name?
Current tight end
Gronkowski.
No.
Vance McDonald.
Not Vance McDonald. This was a while ago. This is back in like
Heath Winslow
something.
Was with the,
Heath Miller.
I almost just said Heath Ledger.
Yeah, every time. Yeah, every time he got like a big play or like got any completion whatsoever, Steelers fans would go Heath. And this continued even when he left. God, I hate Steelers fans.
Oh, I. God bless the Yinzers.
It's like Euculus, the U's for Euculus.
Yinzers. Shout out to Pitt. Now, you know what my thing with Pitt is? You know how every year they like butt bounce their way to a win against like a ranked opponent?
Yeah.
I think they're still due for like their big upset. Because after this game between like UCF and Cincinnati, I don't think UCF's all that great.
So who's their big upset?
Don't tell
me Clemson comes to Pittsburgh.
I mean, they do not, but theoretically, they would play each other in a title game if Pitt won their division. But I don't think Pitt's playing Clemson this season. But I know who they do play.
Who
is ranked in the top 10?
Who?
That's right. It's Notre Dame. It's coming. We were close last year. They were 5 points away.
Where's the game?
They were touchdown away. I want to say they're in Pittsburgh this year.
Oh, but is it not? Wait, hold on. That's basketball. Wait. Oh, it's at Heinz Field.
Yeah. It's coming.
There are two teams that I pick for upsets every year, and one of them, we were just talking about it.
Troy.
Iowa.
Ooh, yeah.
Why don't we talk about Iowa?
No, I was talking about it with Chris earlier.
Yeah, this is in the green
room.
Where
have I been?
Yeah. Well, not here, but we were talking about Iowa.
Who do they have this week? They got Penn State.
Ranked Penn State.
Unbeaten ranked Penn State. Title aspirations, Penn State. Under the lights in Kinnick. And we know what tends to happen under the lights at Kinnick.
Things get real crazy stuff.
Do you want to hear something pretty absurd about crazy stuff?
Yeah, sure.
That the first bowl projections just came out?
Really?
Do you want to know where they have Mizzou?
Where?
It's in Florida.
Probably Gator one Bowl?
Of the at the Gator Bowl, yeah.
Who are they playing?
Where's the Gator Bowl? Is Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
Michigan at the Gator Bowl.
Oh my goodness, you sounded just like Shaggy.
Those
Lakers scoops.
Zoinks.
What website is putting Mizzou in bowl projections?
I can't remember where I saw it. I was reading it last Sunday when I woke up.
Oh, but man. I
think it was SB Nation, maybe. It was called like the Way Too Early Bowl Projections Week 5.
Oh, yeah. I think Banner Society does that. Either Banner Society or SB Nation.
Look, I just don't want to go back to the Alamo Bowl again. I certainly don't want to go to the Cheez-It Bowl, but...
First of all, Mizzou cannot go back to the Alamo Bowl.
I mean,
Alamo
I said...
Bowl,
I,
SEC
I,
doesn't
I,
have a...
I didn't mean the Alamo Bowl. I meant the Liberty Bowl. Same thing.
Not Who wants to go to the Liberty Bowl?
The Liberty Bowl is a cool experience. I like it.
It's Memphis. It really? Nobody likes Memphis.
What is wrong with you, Bourbon?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Do you not like
thing.
Barbecue?
I do like barbecue. Kansas City just does it better.
That's the thing, though. That's
wow, someone from the East Coast has said Kansas City barbecue is better than Memphis.
Yes.
And I'm from Kansas City, and I think Memphis does things better than Kansas City does things, but I think Kansas City does things better than some things that Memphis does.
Oh, here you go. Bleacher Report is Mizzou playing in the Gator Bowl versus Michigan State.
Maybe it was Michigan Bleacher State. Report.
Oh, that's even worse. That's just ugly, man. That's an ugly
football game. So wait, you're telling me that you can't swap Mizzou in to the Citrus Bowl?
Who would they be playing then?
Michigan. I'd rather go to Orlando than go to Jacksonville, dude.
That's fair. I'm not even super high on Michigan. Have you seen Michigan play this year? They're just...
I'm very high on playing Michigan. Mizzou could be the team that gets Jim Harbaugh fired.
Are you kidding? Oh, man. If Barry Odom has another, like... coach like under his belt like the Infinity Gauntlet just like adding it. Butch Jones. Wilma Champ.
In the final stone will be
Brett Bielema. Yeah, the one in the middle. That's the soul stone he pulls out of Harbaugh's khakis. There you go. Right there. Right in the middle. So powerful.
Nobody wants to unless you want me to take a nice long walk on the beach with Gardner Minshew, I don't really have much of a desire to go to Jacksonville.
Who doesn't want to take a long walk on the beach with Gardner Minshew?
Did you see the Gardner Minshew Uncle Rico video?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, anyone with like a thing, long hair, mustache, gets compared to Uncle Rico.
Especially someone that plays quarterback.
Yeah.
I've been to Jacksonville once in my life, and it was for fewer than 12 hours.
Ooh.
My freshman year, I called the SEC Women's Tournament.
Ah.
And Mizzou lost in the first round. We got there. We rolled in, set up everything. And, like, after they lost, I was with Andy Humphrey, who used to be on the show. And,
ooh.
We just turned to each other and said, let's just head back. So in 3 days, I think it was 3.5 days, we drove from Columbia to Jacksonville and back.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty wild.
Stayed one night in the stinkiest hotel ever.
Where?
In Atlanta. It was a Super 8. It was cheap. Super cheap. And it reeked to high heaven.
See, I wouldn't have a problem with going to Orlando. You get a couple days over at Disney World. You could chillax, gaze at the countless strip malls that Orlando has to offer. A Publix on every block.
Oh, I thought you were going to...
Shout out Publix.
I thought for a moment he was talking about Snoop Dogg's performance.
No. I'm talking about how in Florida, every corner, there's a strip mall. There's a nice big shopping center on every corner.
Shout out to strip malls. Do we have final score projections?
For Ole Miss?
Yeah, for Mizzou Ole Miss. What are we thinking?
I think a close one, 35-28.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 31-17, something like that.
Yeah, took my score. Like, I'm going to go 24-17 Tigers.
Which, there's also something else that came off the wire, which, by the way, I'm not reporting this as news, fact that somebody yesterday got on their high horse and had a...
They thought they were hot.
Yeah, they said, here it is, quote verbatim, and this is not accredited.
Oh, is this the Mizzou cast guy?
Colin Mizpod on Twitter. Mizzou Athletic Department hasn't been informed that NCAA verdict on tutor situation expected within 2 weeks. NCAA to give university 24-hour prior notice to announcement.
And, you know that Colin Mizzou Pod is just a pseudonym for Gabe Matter?
No, it's not. Oh, for Gabe Matter. I thought you meant Dave Matter.
No, other Matter.
Okay, yeah. Well, and then Dave Matter immediately, you know, debunked that he got to the university, and that's not it.
That was almost as good as Gabe Darmond shutting down Gabe Matter.
Gabe Matter reported the Cale Garrett pectoral strain or pectoral tear.
Gabe Matter?
Yes, he did. He tweeted that out, and I dismissed it.
Gabe Matter is also a parody.
Is a parody account, yes, it broke the news.
Was a parody account. He's gone now.
What is he now?
He's gone. Gabe Darmond reported him.
Oh, man.
In a very not safe for work series of tweets. He basically was like, stop trying to pretend to do my job. I'm going to report you in the morning. And that was it.
Hey, man, sometimes you just got to put it down.
What is it Mitch Holton says? He laid the hammer down.
He laid the hammer down.
You're out of here.
It's third down. Oh, man.
So
I had no idea that then that's within the last week that Gabe Matter is gone.
Yes, Gabe Matter is
gone.
Rest
in peace.
Rest in peace, Gabe Matter, whoever that is. What if it's like Mark Kim?
You know that Mark Kim does, like, he does social media work now over at ESPN?
Really?
I believe that's his position.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
There are some things that get posted on ESPN. I have no idea who did them, but, like, they just have his signature on it. You know, like, he has a certain style to the way, you know, he would do stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm thinking, like, that could very well be him. I have no idea if it's him or not, but.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Something about it.
I'm going to read the tweet out loud. Gabe Matter, after reporting the Cale Garrett pectoral tear, also really disappointed with the lack of respect for my fellow Mizzou beat writers. No mention or credit. Sad. At Gabe Darmond, at Dave Matter.
Hey, you're not reading it right. You got to do your Trump voice.
Sad.
To which Gabe responds, I think I speak for everybody tagged here when I tell you to STFU and quit pretending to be anything other than a fan with a Twitter account. You don't get credit because you get no blame if you're wrong. We'll report you in the morning, but too busy trying to watch Mahomes. When some guy is being a blank, using my name and my company's name on Twitter and then whining about not getting credit for a job he doesn't do, yeah, I am salty.
Man,
see, this is what happens when you don't prepare an or nah.
See, this is what happens when you try and go after a journalist at the greatest journalism school in the world.
That's what. Yeah, don't come for the king.
Wait, we should make a parody count for you and you and. Or I'm pointing to Chris here, Chris and Zach.
No, I'm gonna make
and we'll call it Chris Berman.
No, we got to make the Josh Neighbors parody account first, the Mr. Josh's Neighborhood account.
See, people might actually think that's real.
Yeah.
This is be about, like, I don't know, the Caps or something. Maybe maybe wrestling, MMA.
Wrestling and depressed Redskins tweets.
Yeah. Shout out to Washington. Do we have an ad read real quick?
How about them Dodgers?
That's an ad read. Let me see that paper.
This is from 2 weeks ago.
I know, but they're still...
This is South Carolina's game.
It's cool.
Can I get it?
Yeah, go for
Missouri it. Missouri Tiger football. They do not begin SEC play. They have their annual homecoming game on KCOU this Saturday as they host not the South Carolina Gamecocks, but the Ole Miss Rebels. Nash and Chance will be in the booth. Tiger pregame live presented by El Rancho begins at 2. It does not begin at 2. It's going to begin at 5. Kickoff is set for 6 p.m. East Central. Right here on KCOU 88.1 FM, KCOU.FM, and streaming on the streaming on the TuneIn app, KCOU, the student voice of your Missouri Tigers.
That was a good ending there. You just got real close to me, like, Missouri Tigers. Let's see, what time is it? Ooh, we should do some airing and grievances.
Already?
Yeah, it's 4:48, dog.
Okay.
Check your watch. It's right there.
All right.
Who are we beefing with today?
The tradition of Festivus begins
with
the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
It's a weird energy to sort of leave off the homecoming episode with, but yeah, let's just talk about what we're beefing with.
Oh, man, what are we mad about?
I can start off. I'm beefing with the fact that I'm going to have to face the reality that it's probably going to be Cardinals-Yankees in the World Series.
You bet your butt it's going to be Cardinals-Yankees.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You're the Yankees fan.
Oh, yeah. I am saving up every dollar in my account to make sure I can get out to Busch Stadium if that happens.
Which stinks because, like...
How does that stink?
Well...
I've always wanted to see my boys play in person.
Because it's the two most hated teams in baseball, that's why.
It's not the most... Cardinals aren't the most hated.
Well, here...
No, they are by folks like Chris and I from our part of the state.
That's right. It's very great for two teams, but for everyone else, it's just sort of like, and it kind of takes away of not the novelty of, you know how I feel like the league has been sort of like pining for a Cardinals-Yankees World Series for like ever?
I thought this was going to be the year we got Yankees-Dodgers.
Has it ever happened?
Yeah, it's happened. I know
Yankees Dodgers has.
Yankees Cardinals has happened like in the 40s or something.
But yeah, I know they've been kind of like hankering for that since, you know, big market baseball teams, things of that nature. But I thought it would have been really funny if the closest thing that the MLB ever got to a Yankees Cardinals matchup was Royals Mets in 2015. Like, there you go. There's your New York Missouri matchup.
Well, we've gotten Cardinals-Red Sox twice.
That is true.
And the Cardinals are very interesting, being that St. Louis is one of the smallest baseball markets in the country. Yet because they're a legacy franchise and because they have history and stable ownership to back them up, they get to hang with the big boys. So they're basically the Green Bay Packers of the MLB.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty apt comparison, actually. So, yeah, shout out to them. As these playoffs progress, my interest in the World Series slowly diminishes. I'm hoping for Tampa Nationals.
Not the Nationals, but, I mean, I'm hoping Tampa pulls it out today. You want chaos? Give me the Rays.
Yeah. Dude, maximum chaos is Tampa Nationals, dude. Well, one, Max Scherzer, the god, ended up in the World Series. And two, it's the Expos Bowl, baby. Whoever wins that game goes back to Montreal.
Oh, no.
Let's do it. I'm here for that.
No. Okay. Hold up. All right.
What's your airing agreement, Zach?
First of all, I'm going to show you this picture, and I want you to laugh at it.
That's Max Scherzer looking like he just dropped a plate of mac and cheese.
Yeah. All right. So normally I'd give you my Devil's grievance because the Devils look terrible, but... As someone that really wanted the World Series to be Yankees-Dodgers, I am going to air a nice big grievance at one Dave Roberts.
Ooh, yeah.
What are you doing?
What was he thinking?
What are you thinking? You know Clayton Kershaw cannot pitch in the postseason in big games, and he comes out and immediately gives up a home run. You don't yank him? And then the next pitch, he gives up another home run? And then Joe Kelly was pitching well. You pitch him again in the 10th inning when he hasn't pitched a multi-inning game since May?
Can't be that good!
God, Clayton Kershaw is amazing because, on one hand, he's probably one of the best pitchers we've seen this century.
In the regular season.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, he can just be an absolute jobber.
So he's the anti-Eli Manning.
Yeah. Wow. The anti-Eli Manning. Amazing. Holy Lord. So, I need to lay down now.
Long story short, the Dodgers are out thanks to Howie Kendrick.
Howie Kendrick the God.
Howie Kendrick the God.
The legend. Shout out to you, Dodgers. You should probably blow it up now.
You should probably fire Dave Roberts.
Just blow
We've
up
already
operation.
Seen plenty of managers get fired.
Dave Roberts, who stole the most important base in baseball
Stop
history.
Stop it. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about
well,
that.
Well, hey, I'm just saying what Ken Burns called it.
Yeah.
Have you seen the 10th inning of Ken Burns baseball?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
It's beautiful the way that they show that play. He says, and then the most important stolen base in baseball history. And do you know what I'm talking about?
Not really.
Dave Roberts stole second base to, what was that?
Keep the Red Sox alive in 04.
Yeah.
When okay. they proceeded to go on and reverse sweep the Yankees.
Dang.
Possibly my favorite term in sports is reverse sweep. All right.
Do I get to air my grievances?
Yeah, you get to air your grievance.
I know who I'm going after. It's that big old defensive lineman that, what's the right word? Not hogtied Kelly Bryant, but, you know.
Wrangled him in.
Slammed him down by his knees.
He was laughing on the sidelines after that too.
Dang.
That is inexcusable, and there needs to be a rule, an injury for injury rule. And I'm going to go down with this. That you know, if you hurt somebody, especially if you can prove it intentionally like that, then you know you need to sit on the sidelines as long as that person is hurt.
I'm kind of surprised it didn't. Did that fall under roughing the passer?
It did.
It did.
Okay. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, kind of like targeting, where if you get like, I don't know. Well, targeting is weird because you get the one penalty if you get ejected. Is that an object? Should that be an ejectable offense?
Maybe. I don't know. Depends on where we're at, especially in like football nowadays. If you like breathe on someone, it's roughing the passer. So like, it depends.
Yeah, I guess it really does depend. Anyways, I don't think. I think
that Troy defensive lineman did go to the Vontaze Burfict School of Tackling.
Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome home, everybody. Enjoy your stay. Welcome back.
Ole Miss coming up on Saturday.
Ole Miss.
Rebs coming to town. We covering that game right here on KCOU 88.1 FM, KCOU.FM. Up next, we got the Pulse. Don't go anywhere, y'all. Got some more KCOU content for you today. Tomorrow, day after that, etc., till the end of time.
Terry, I'm sorry about the Braves.
Sorry about the Barbs, Terry. Rest in peace.